a senior adult, a mature person in this room, 60, 70, you're going to grow young in this church. Your seed will not, your leaf will not wither. Give me a good amen. And that's a good thing, right? Amen. You just got younger when you walked in. Give me a good amen. And so you're part of a young church, and then we go, amen. We go out into the harvest field. The real church is okay in here, but the better church is out there in your company, your home, your places that you work at. So we're blessed, right? And welcome the Facebook audience live. They're live feed today. Let's welcome them. Give them a big hand. I'm glad that you're here and you tuned in. You could have chosen to stay with us today, and don't throw anything at me right now. Amen. That's okay. And message notes, do you have those? If you have message notes, you're going to need those. If you missed those on the way in, we'll get those for you right away. Would you raise your hand high if you need message notes? I have a precious lady back there. I got somebody over here. So ushers are just impromptu. We got the best ushers in the world. So we're ready to go. Good relationships are possible, but they're not probable. Did you know that? Amen. We have culture today. And the world's way has actually even crept into the church, because the divorce rate, they say by stats, is the same that it is on the outside as it is in the church. And so the only thing that's going to make us different is if we apply the Bible and the values of the Word of God to our lives. And we have a conditional love in the world that if you do that, then I'll love you. But an unconditional love is a love like Jesus had. And it's called, somebody say, covenant. Covenant just keeps coming at you, and it's relentless, and saying, I'm not going to give up. I'm going to still pursue you. Like God's love, it's relentless. It just keeps pursuing you. Is that okay with everybody? Amen. It's that love, until death do us part. And so until death, if there's nothing else, amen, that's going to get in the way, until we're in this thing until somebody dies. Is that okay with everybody? Amen. We're going to leave murder on the table. No, we're going to get murder off the table. Amen. Give me a good amen. You can smile at me. This coming week, real quick, Friday night, evening, 6 o'clock, there's going to be an outdoor movie, and our youth ministry is doing that. One more plug for them, because they're raising tremendous amounts of money that need to be raised for camp. It takes thousands of dollars, and thank God, God has it, amen, and we're doing creative ways to get it. Is that okay with everybody? So an outdoor movie, it's going to be shown right here in this back area. There'll be a just against that back white wall. Bring your lawn chairs. You can pull your SUV up, pop the thing up, you know, and have the kids sit on the outside. Bring your snacks if you want. There'll be plenty of snacks being sold by our young people for camp. Everything will go for it. It's just going to be a blast. 6:30. Is that okay with everybody? There might be a cartoon at the very beginning. Is that okay? Anyway, somebody ought to barbecue. I just feel that call. Amen. You want to put some? I'll have a taste test. Is that okay with everybody? There they are. Amen. They're back. Amen. Somebody ought to be cooking some good stuff for that day. Amen. We're going to eat it. We'll give it to the youth fund. Is that okay with everybody? Yeah? Amen. All right. Let's look at our message. Amen. I have a note for you that wasn't in your handout, but Romans chapter 12, Howard talked about this. Oscar Gonzalez talked about this. So it's my turn. Don't copy the behaviors of the custom of this world, especially when it has to do with our relationships. We have these relationship rules that we get from the world, we get from HBO, we get from the media, we get from television series, we get from, well, that's the way they do it, you know, and on One Life to Live or whatever it might be, La Novela, amen. We don't want that. We don't want the customs of this world, but we want to let God transform you. Right? And so hit your neighbor and say, let God transform you. If you don't do it, I'm going to bring you up here, amen. Why don't you do this? This is a lot easier. Say, Lord, transform me. Yeah, that's even better. Amen. And it changes you into a new person, not retraining. I'm going to retrain you because you've been, you know, God doesn't do that. He gives you that new person because it's the way that we think. In by changing the psyche, amen, that changes the heart, amen. But we got to get not the new way of thinking. So my job today is really to speak the truth, but do it in love. We learned about that, right? Amen. Not going to be hating today. And so we can change it. These are powerful truths that we'll have that will change the way we think. And then you will learn God's will for you. Here we go again, the scripture, which is good, pleasing, and what? Perfect today. And so your relationships can be good, pleasing, and perfect today. Heaven come to her, earth, amen, and like an unforeseen kiss, and kiss us, amen, and bless us today, right, everybody? we want to do relationships God's way. There's an agape relationship that we learned about in the previous series that, again, agape is the love that was not erotic love. It wasn't brotherly love. It was a love that keeps coming at you. Again, it's relentless. And we want to look at conflict because conflict, all relationships will have conflict. Amen. One married person said amen. And they know it's true. All the and for you guys that are dating, you say, oh, no, we're never going to fight. Young people, we just don't fight. We don't fight. Get ready. You're going to have conflict today. And it's not that we want it, but we have to know what to do when conflict comes. We behave like the world, and we don't want to behave like the world culture. We want to do it the Bible way, the way that we're redeemed today. The final, by the way, in the last series that we'll have will be next Sunday. I don't want you to miss it. I've probably never done a sermon like this. I've kind of tweaked here and there, but I want to dedicate a sermon. I want to call it Love Affair, Single Love Affair. And I want to speak directly towards our young people. I want to speak directly towards the people that are dating, that are single in this place. And then, you know what? If you're a parent in this room, you're going to want to instruct your children or your grandparents here. You're going to want to give them the ways of life on this is the way the Bible says that we do courtship or we do. And it's taken really, I don't want to preach too much, but I found a passage, Adam and Eve in the garden, on how Adam came and God came and by his rib, amen, did something that was extraordinary and gave him a helpmate today. But all that is in the Bible today. So let's look at it next week. There's this joke I heard about marriage, and it says marriage is like a deck of cards. It is you start off with two hearts and a diamond, right? But it always ends up because they have two clubs and a spade, amen? That's the way you want to end up, right? We need to discover the rules of engagement in the Bible and how conflict can be different. What causes conflict? We'll look at that. And what's the Bible way to deal with conflict? There are four roots of conflict, not in your handout, but let's go ahead and take notes anyway if you have those or look at them or you can have these on Facebook. Number one is poor communication. Most conflict starts off with something very, very small, like it has with Irma and I. But then we make it larger and larger and larger, and words speak today. So last series, I dealt with nothing but communication. Again, go back to our Facebook Live. It's on the series. Or go to our website, Living Faith SA, and there's a sermon dedicated just for that one. The power of the tongue has life and death. And so we got to watch our mouth today. There's this joke about a husband, and he tells his wife, he's in the heat of rules of engagement, he says, I can't believe that you're so beautiful, but you're so stupid also. Yeah, he had it. Well, she comes back at him and says, you know what? God made me so beautiful so you could fall in love with me. And God made me stupid so I could fall in love with you. And guys, you're not going to win. Amen. They just keep coming at you. Amen. There's something that happens to us when we begin to argue and our heartbeat begins to race. Amen. We don't say anything. They do, but we don't. Amen. Psalms 141, set a guard over my mouth, O Lord. Amen. And keep a watch over the doors of my lips. And I've noticed that a door here in the Bible, Old Testament doors, they can't be opened from the outside. The owner of the door, which is your mouth, you own the mouth, you have to set the guard over your mouth. Is that okay with everybody? And so by the occupant, you can shut it or you can open your mouth today. And sometimes we need to shut our mouths today. Notice also, look at the scripture. It's beautiful. The first response is really not going to that person. Ya me cansates. You go to God. And God understands frustration. You go to God first before you go to that person. Or you send the email. Or you send the text. Go to the Lord and say, Lord, help me and keep a watch over the door of my lips. Is that okay with everybody? Amen. Are you glad you came to Living Faith? Yeah. Yeah, amen. And then unfulfilled expectations is a second thought here about the roots of conflict. Anger begins right here because here's what happens. Anger begins to happen when your expectations are not met. This didn't happen and now I'm mad about it. This didn't line up, or this didn't come. I expected this to happen, and it didn't happen, and now unfulfilled expectations. That's why James, the half-brother of Jesus, born to Mary, said this, James 4:1, what causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from the desires that battle within you. You want something, but you don't get it. You kill and covet. And well, I never killed anybody. Well, Jesus said you've done it with your mouth. If you've hated or if you've said something, you can assassinate somebody even with your mouth. It goes to that level with a Christian, with somebody walking with God. And you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and fight. Well, I deserve the highway to be free and clear at 5 p.m., 1604. I should have a free highway to get home quickly. And I don't have that, and I'm mad now because I don't have it. I deserve a good night's rest. And my neighbor last night had this pachanga going on till 3 in the morning. I called, and I didn't get a good night. The dog was barking all night long. His dog was, and I deserve a good night's rest. Unfulfilled expectations causes. I deserve a raise. I didn't get it, and I'm mad now. Right, everybody? And so these unfulfilled expectations the Bible speaks about, if we don't get them, we get mad about them. We get upset today. Amen. The Bible goes on to say in James right here, this beautiful passage, just lack of room. It says that we should ask God, and God would answer our prayers. See, many times we go to that human, that person that we love the closest here on this earth, and God is saying, if you just come to me, I would have met your needs. You're asking people the impossible at times. They're not built to make you happy all the time. They just don't bring it all the time. They're not God. And if you expect a human to make you happy all the time, you're going to be disappointed over and over. You're going to get your expectations not met. And it says if you ask God, God will answer your prayers. And so many times we just got to pull it back a little bit, said, Lord, meet my need. I'm not going to depend on that. I'm going to depend on you, God. Not an organization. A church will disappoint you. Amen. Give me a good amen. Yeah, get ready. Amen. If you love this church, it will disappoint you. It will. But we ask God, God, thank you, God, that you're still here. Amen. I'll put that on the shelf. Don't forget about it. I'm going to come back to it. Three is this, despising differences, conflict. Man, it used to complete me. You used to complete me, man. You completed me when we dated. But now I despise that thing that's different about you or different about us. Remember that, man, when you would stay up and say, I met this girl, man, and she's just so, she talks so much, and I love to just hear her talk. Now, 20 years later, you're like, man, all you do is talk. Amen. Remember him? Man, he's just so calm. And you would tell your girlfriends about him. I think I met the one. He's patient. He's calm. And now, 20 years later, it's like, man, he won't get up off the couch. Look, get off the couch, right? You got to laugh a little bit, amen, because it's true, amen. Irma and I are polar opposites. She's cold. Man, I'm hot. Turn up the AC. No, turn up the fan. No, it's, you know, somebody's going to save. No, we got to spend. Who's that in the relationship? Amen. Yeah. It used to complete me. Now it irritates me. And so, but here's the difference. If all I had was me in the relationship, there would be two of me. And I don't need that. There's not two of Mario that's necessary. I need Irma in my life because she makes a nice house. She makes some good arroz con pollo. Amen. Give me a good amen. She completes me that way. Amen. Thank God. Amen. Thank God the differences. See, NFL teams they've discovered that. That's why they have winning teams know that not everybody can have a strong leg to kick it through the uprights. Only about two guys, maybe the punter. And the kicker, they need strong legs to go ahead. They need about maybe guys that weigh 400 to 500 pounds maybe. They're getting there. They'll finally weigh 500 pounds one day in the NFL. They need about eight of those guys on the line. Yeah, four and then four for offense. And they need one tall, maybe smart guy that can throw it, you know, down the field. They need about two speedsters in the back. If they have that, see, not everybody can weigh 400 pounds on the football team. Not everybody can be real fast. Not everybody can have a kicking leg. So we all need our differences here. How about if the church was all the same? We drive each other crazy. That's why the differences of living faith, we embrace that. We love people that are different than us, right, everybody? They're a little bit too differently, though. No, they're okay. Amen. We're going to pray. Yeah, they're a blessing to us. That's why Mark chapter 3, Jesus' words, 25, if a house is divided against itself, it cannot. Yeah, it's dangerous to have that, right, everybody? We got to embrace the differences. Four is this, and I could have just brought it down to this one. We all have a sin nature. Mankind has fallen. That's why we need the cross today. All of us in this room, we need to make room for each other that we're saved by grace. We need the grace of God towards each other in this room today. Amen. God, please forgive me. But then we don't want to forgive other people. We got to give room because they're going to mess up. They're human. You've fallen. Mankind has fallen. So we're all these people. Same hospital, right, everybody? And so we just some of us get a little bit better. So Romans chapter 3, verse 23 on the big screen says this, for everyone has sinned. And we all fall short of God's glorious standard. I got to leave room for you today. I got to make room. You got to make room for your husband, your wife today, because they're going to mess up. Your children are going to mess up, right, everybody? Boy, have they. But I came to church because when I saw that thought that you were going to do, I was going to learn to control them and try to change them. Because when I have conflict, that's why I came today. What if we looked at God's word this way, that God, you would do an inside job on me and you would change me first? What if we approach God's word that way, right, everybody? That I'm not, yeah, they do need changing, but Lord, change me first. And God honors that. God would approach a person and come running towards that person. Them. Look at them. No, look at me first, God. That's the heart that God looks at. There are four ways to deal with conflict. These are in your message notes. Number one is this, my way. It's my way or the highway. I'm the boss. I'm dad. Submit to me. Line up. And that's not a way to do it. Two, your way. For the sake of peace, go ahead and do it. I've given up. You laugh too familiar in this place. Amen. Yeah, we can have a good time in church. Man, yame kansatis. Go ahead. You. Yeah, three. Man, there's an anointing on me to speak dual languages now. Have you noticed that? I'm trilingual. I speak in tongues too, right? Three, halfway. That's 50-50. And some of us, we preach this even. You get your way 50%. But remember, I'm going to get my way next week. You get your way this week. And that doesn't work because you're mad half the time. You get 50%. You're 50%, right? All right. But then there's God's way. And that's the perfect way. That's why we tell you, if you give Living Faith a year of your life, that your life will be better after a year. It will be. If you're faithful to the things that God's called you to do within this house, you get involved in a small group, you begin to serve the house of the Lord. Not that we just, serving does something in your heart today, amen? More than it does that, well, I did this and that. No, God did something while I served in the house of the Lord. It did something in my heart. I want to contrast what the world would say. I go to God first, and then I go to that individual. Do an inside job on me first today. I've noticed in counseling, in guiding people, in conflict, and even in our marriage, in our home, if we're dealing with something that's a red, hot topic, and we can't get resolution, we're having intense fellowship, you know what, we table it. I said, look, we're going to need to visit this, but let's pray. Let's give this 2 weeks. If we can't have 2 weeks, let's give it at least a day. But we don't need to deal with this right now. Do you understand that? And I've noticed even in marriages, well, we're not getting along. I said, you know what? That one issue that y'all are having such disagreement, can y'all table it just for a week and just pray for 2 weeks? If you have 2 weeks, pray, even fast and pray. And then in 2 weeks, would we come back? And you know what happens in 2 weeks? It's gone. It usually goes away, and what was so important, the urgency of the matter, is gone because we sought God, and God worked on hearts today. It's a simple key. We can do that in our marriages today. Right, everybody? There's a beautiful scripture in Ecclesiastics, and it's found in your handout today. And it says this, the birds sang, if you knew this from the 60s, right, everybody? Yeah, the birds sang this, man, that band in the 60s. If you knew that, it's because you're getting more mature, amen? You're not old, amen, it's Miss Claire all the time. Give me a good amen. A little gray, do you, amen. And so the Byrds sang this in the 1960s. Some of y'all hate that when I do that, but that's okay. I know you got to love me. I'm a Christian. You got to love me. You're a Christian. There's a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven. A time to scatter stones and a time to gather. In the beautiful Old Testament language in this poetry verse, it spoke of that there stones were something that you could, a list of things. Well, you can do things with stones. You can throw them at people, or you can make the choice to gather them. And scattering really meant that you would pick them up and you would get ready to throw them at your enemy, the hurt bombs. I'm going to put some hurt on you, put some hurt on me. Show me the next scripture if you could. There's a beautiful story of Jacob. And he was, as a young man, he saw this beautiful woman called Rachel. And he said, Rachel, I got to have you. And she said, well, you got to see my daddy, Laban. That was the way it should be done even today. And Laban said, you know what? You want her? Work 7 years. And he worked like it said like it was nothing. 7 years was like that, man. He had it. He said, all right, the wedding, 7 years. I get to have the wedding night, the wedding day. And he married her. And I guess they had a big veil on that bride at that time. Because what happened is the next morning, the Bible says that he woke up, the honeymoon, he woke up and it was the older sister. And the Bible says this in translation, it was Leah. And Leah wasn't as good looking, which is another sermon, as Rachel. She was beautiful. And Leah, the older sister, and so he said, hey, what happened? He came out of the tent, you know, it was daylight now. And he said, Laban, what did you do? You deceived me. He said, no, the older daughter needs to get married first. If you want Rachel, work 7 more years. Yeah, that's true, man. See, you don't need to do drugs, man. You can do the Bible. Give me a good amen. Just telling you, you can do the Bible's full of, it's awesome, the Bible, right? And so the story goes on that he worked 7 years, and then Laban said, you know what, work a little bit more, and there was some trickery on the wages and so forth. This drama really happened in the Bible. And after about 20 years, Jacob had it. And so he takes his wives, now his wives, and they leave. They flee in the middle of the night. Laban finds out, father-in-law, and he goes, you know what? I'm coming after you, man. And Jacob hears about it. He's probably 20 miles away, 30 miles away. And he tells them this beautiful story, this scripture right here that I have on the screen for you. And he says, and he said to them, the relatives, gather some stones. Don't scatter them. Gather them. And they took the stones and they piled them into a heap. And there they ate. And the Old Testament would want to tell us and talk to us today at Living Faith that we want to throw the stones. We want to exchange them for hurt off hurt today. And God is saying, instead of giving them another hurt rock because they hurt you by throwing at them, I want you to gather them. And it says that Jacob and his relatives there, they built this altar because they did that in the Old Testament with rocks. And they built it. I can imagine how big it was. And they came to God and they were able to eat a meal finally because the turmoil had left their lives today. Someone is stopping your happiness and joy today. And God is saying they can't do that without your participation. God is saying, would you put it down right now? And build me an altar. And the whole message today is build an altar and God will meet you right there with the hurt and pain that you're experiencing, the disunity. And if you build that altar, I'll meet you. Would you come to me first? Put the rocks down just for a moment and come and build me an altar today. Amen. And so it's not you, it's me. You use that breakup line. Amen. You got to use it on yourself. It's really not you. It's me. And that drama that you're happening, that's going to take place, it's not going to happen anymore because I'm leaving the conflict. You're not going to take my happiness away anymore, my joy today. And so that person can't be in charge of your happiness because you've laid down the conflict today, right? You can walk away from it today. Kill the flesh today. Build an altar today. In conflict, look at this point. Conflict cannot continue without my what? Show me the next slide. Yeah, so you've stopped participating. How? Paul said, I die daily. You can't offend a dead man because he's dead, right? But you got to do it every day. Yeah, I got to die every day. I go to the altar every day. I set my will to forgive. I set my will to be a forgiving person today. I'm going to give you three responses now, biblically. You can walk with these. They're blueprints for life. You can have them, and you can do them actually right now. Amen. You can do them when you walk out tonight. Amen. Monday morning. You can do them at your company. You sure got to do them at Living Faith as we do life together here. Right, everybody? Especially in our relationships today. I will act, not... Yeah. I will act, not react. And so make some pre-decisions today. Have a pre-fight plan. Irma and I have a pre-fight plan. If this goes down, this is how we're going to act. This is what's going to, the worst case scenario, this is what's going to happen today. And so Ephesians 4, 26 talks about the pre-fight plan. It says, in your anger, do not sin. You're going to get mad, but it says not to sin. Don't let the sun go down while you're still angry. Do not give the devil even a pinky toe. Amen, right? Oh. Don't let your day go by without bringing some action and talking today. Irma and I, we made a promise, and it's been tough. Let's not go to bed angry. And we've like stayed up like for 5 days. I love my gel mattress cover thing, and I want to go to bed. Give me a good amen. So I'm going to get that thing resolved. Amen. I sunk into it. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. They couldn't find me. Give me a good amen. I want to respond like God. In other words, I want to act like God during the conflict, not react. Amen. So don't put it off. You might need an hour because sometimes people need to stew, but some people are microwaves. They want to get it resolved, but you got to give a little bit of time. Never call names. Especially parents, don't call your son an idiot. Don't call her a name. Don't call him a name. Amen. Don't call names. Never raise your voice. Never raise your voice. You can say things. You can stay calm. Amen. If you can't, then cool down. Say it right. Amen. Don't get historical. Historical means, you remember when you did that? You were in 1968 when you did. No, don't. History. There's evidence in the past for all of us. You got to move ahead, amen, deal with it and move on. That's why the sun should have went down a long time ago, right? Never say never. Are you always, you never do this, you always do this. We take that out of vocabulary, right? Are you glad you came to Living Faith Church, right, everybody? Amen. Never threaten divorce. Yeah. In the 26 years that Irma and I have been married plus, we've never talked about divorce. I never threatened divorce. I've threatened murder. She's threatened murder, but we've never threatened divorce. Yeah. The second thought is this, amen. I will focus on the good things in you. The altar of God. Focus on the good today. I'd like to use this building as an example. We're in it just about a year now. Praise God. It's awesome to be in the new building and dedicated the other building towards our children's and youth. Amen. Praise God. But you know what happened with this building? There was a lot of pain that was associated with this building. A lot of it was, of course, you didn't need to deal with it because you're part of the congregation, you attend here. But if you really look deep down, going layer upon layer because of this building getting built, there was people that left this church, honestly, because of it. And we missed them. But feelings were involved and things happened. And so by the time that, honestly, when this building got built as the pastor of the church, there was a lot of regret that I personally carried, and my heart ached because of relationships that weren't with me anymore. And then there was a lot of stuff that happened with contractors and things that we had to go through. Then we learn and we learn and we learn and hopefully not repeat things in the future because we're people of wisdom. And I could have walked in here thinking, that's why, honestly, pastors quit when there's a building project. If you've been at enough churches, because it takes such a toll. It's spiritual warfare, and not every person can withhold do what we've done as a congregation and stay together, and come through the other side. And so, what I had to do was focus on the good things about even this building, because just like you do, I'm human. And so I remember now when my wife and I walked the land, when this building was grass, And we pray that God would bless and send you and be part of the church family. And I think of that. I remember when this was nothing but a field and we'd have to cut it. And I remember that when the foundation was being poured, Irma and I got Bibles. And I said, the foundation's going to be poured this afternoon, but I'm going to go and we're going to put these Bibles in Ziploc baggies. They were all Bibles that meant, one was a Bible that my dad, was a Spanish Bible that he had, that he gave to me. And I wanted my dad and I wanted the Word of God to be in the four corners of the building, just spiritual, or not spiritual, but just something that I wanted to do, a marker for God, a marker for us that the Word of God has established us. So I laid Bibles in when the cement was being poured, and those Bibles are in the four corners. And I think of that as I walk through the building. I go, there's one in that corner, there's one in that corner, there's one in that corner, and there's one in that corner. And so I think of that. I remember my wife and I, after the building was built and we were walking in the new parking lot on that other side, hadn't been built, and my wife, just with bold faith, rises up and said, look what God has given us. Look what God has done and how He's blessed us. And so I think of that. I think of the church work days that we've had with the men of faith in this room and how we've worked and cut grass and the good times we've had. And we were out there in the Texas hot sun. We're sweating and we're doing the work of God. I think of you working and doing what you've done in this house. I think of you doing ministry within this house and how you've loved people and welcomed people. Amen. And you cooked some good food in this place already. Give me a good amen. Amen. And so we have to dwell on the good things or it's going to be a nightmare. Do y'all understand that? There's always something good that you can bring to the altar. That's why Philippians 4:8 says, finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is... Why don't we back up on this thing? We got enough time. We're in second service, right, everybody? Let's read it together on three. You haven't had any fun all day. One, two, three, go. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, yeah, think about such things. Because there's always something good in somebody. Give me a good amen. This slide, I wasn't planning on showing it, but I wanted to show it. I thought, when I took this picture, and this is a couple at our church here in our first service, they said I could show it, the story I told. I was in Home Depot about 2 weeks ago getting some stuff here in the neighborhood. It's a Home Depot, right? Now, people amen for anything. Anyway, and so I saw this couple, and we're chit-chatting about different things, and well, we say goodbye to each other, but I walk out and they're in front of me and they don't think I can didn't see them, but I saw them just holding hands and not holding hands, but escorting and walking down. Maybe they're going to look at the lawnmowers. And it so blessed me. This is a mature couple. They've been married probably going on 50 years soon, 40 at least maybe. And I know that they've walked through the hurt. I know that they've walked through the scattering of the stones, but I know that they're not perfect. And I don't want to, you may know who they are, you may not, but they're like all of us. They've had to come to build altars, just like you and I. They're not perfect. And they've had to come and see the good in each other through the years of their marriage. God has blessed them. God has promoted them. God has provided them. And God's not a respecter of person. Would you keep still walking with people? Because all I sensed when I saw them walking away, and I took that, thank God for camera phones, amen, where would we be without them? All I sensed was, man, God, you've been good to me to allow me to have good people like this in my church, just like you, amen, just like you, yeah. Let's keep walking together, living faith, right? This can be us. Give me a good amen. How to act, how to focus on the good. Finally, the third one is this. You're going to get the last fill in the blank. You're going to want to be... Put away your stuff, but don't check out yet. Amen. I will apply God's grace to you. In Matthew 18, there's this beautiful scripture that Jesus gets real intense about. And he says, you know what? There was this servant that owned all this money to the banker. And the banker says, Jesus told the story, said, you know what? I'm going to release you of that $1 million debt. Just you're free from it. Man, your mortgage was paid off. Everything was credit card payment. You know, everything's done. He says, now, you know, be blessed. And the guy walks out immediately, and the story goes, Jesus is telling the story. He goes and finds this guy that owes him like a nickel. Not $1 million, but a nickel. And he says, pay me back everything that you owe me. Pay me back now. And the guy couldn't. And he threw him in the debtor's prison. And they came and told that man that had forgiven him of all that debt. This is what that guy had. And Jesus gets ticked. Anger, but in a righteous way. And he says, this is what happens to that person. See, many times we want grace. God, give me all the grace that I need right now, because I sure did mess up. But then we want to put the law on somebody else. Yeah, by the same measure, the Bible says that you would get forgiveness. That's and mercy. That's the same way it's going to come back to you. It's a revolving door. And so when somebody messes up around me, here's what I try to do. I try to give them a lot of mercy. I'm real big on the grace of God. I'm not perfect. I'm like you. But because you know what? It's coming back to me. I'm going to need mercy. I'm going to need grace. Don't you know it? Amen? You are. Let's have a church of grace. Let's have a church that we're giving mercy away, because we're going to need it one day. Give me a good amen. Grace for me, law for them. No, it's an upside down kingdom. The kingdoms of this earth are like this. Power, power, power. Got to show authority. They get me, I get them back. My enemy, I'm going to throw a rock. The kingdom of God is upside down. Jesus said, love those that despitefully use you. Those that curse you, bless them. It's being a Christian. It's called dying to yourself. Man, I thought you were going to make me feel good, Pastor. It's real Christianity. We won't grow past this point. Why should we? Why would God send us more people if we can't love more people? Right, everybody? Amen. Romans chapter 12, verse 19. Do not take what? My dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. In other words, I'm going to take care of it. Don't send your uncle. Don't send la familia. Amen. It's mine to avenge. I will repay, saith the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, yeah, and if he's thirsty, in doing so, it says these burning heaps of coals will be on there. Oh, I got them now. I'm going to burn them with some fire. In the book of the old, in Deuteronomy, where they quote this scripture from, fire was this precious commodity. It wasn't something that you could light a match or you could, you know, just turn on a stove. It was, the coal was, man, I got this thing going and out here, warm your house with it. You're my enemy, but warm your family with it. You're the one that took from me, but I'm going to give this to you so you can be okay tonight. You can be okay. You give. And it says that you do not be overcome by evil, because you're going to you destroy your enemy by making him your friend. But overcome evil with what? See, your spiritual condition improves when you do this. Your spiritual condition will get very sick if you're not living this way today. You build an altar every day. You have the grace of God that is applied to you. Good treatment. Amen. You love people. The coal that you give them of fire, amen, is shame comes to them because you've been so good. Amen. You do it with a heart that says, you know what, I'm just as guilty as you are, but here, and shame comes to the whole thing. More on them, amen. I need to remember God's grace to me, because just like Leno sang a moment ago about how his parents and how his grandparents, God had blessed him. God had blessed him. You need to remember all the good things, how God's grace has been applied to you. God, you've been good to me. You blessed me with a beautiful family. You blessed me with a home, God, a car, clothes. God, you blessed me, you blessed me, you blessed me. And when you begin to remember God's grace towards you that we didn't deserve, you really get to the point of saying, man, who else can I be good to now? You scratch that beard and you go, oh, God, you've been good to me. I need to be good to them. Right, everybody? Amen. Bow your heads and pray. Father, we want to drop the rocks of revenge, of hate, of bitterness. And God, as I lay my hand on my heart, and everyone do that right now, lay your hand in the center point of your life. God, transform me into a new person. Jesus, you live on the inside of me as a believer. So I want your heart. I want your ways. Lord, I want to be just like you. I want to be a disciple of Jesus. I want to walk. I want your dust. Lord, may the dust of Jesus cover me. That's how close I am. I'm walking right behind you, Jesus. I want to be just like you. Yeah. Now, let's build an altar there with those hurt rocks. That pain that you felt, that betrayal. Today, Lord, we build. We don't throw a rock. We build an altar with each stone today. Let them become rocks of healing now. I bow towards that altar, Lord. I bow towards you. Thank you, Lord. Heal people today as they build an altar. Thank you, Lord. As I continue to pray, the Bible says, draw near, come to me, and I'll come near you. Draw near to me, and I will draw near to you. You come close to God. God is not far away. He's a prayer away. We're going to pray a prayer right now that can change your life today. In a moment right now, I'm asking you to consider your ways. How's it going? Where are you at right now with God and your relationship? Are you lost? Are you far away from God? Have you ever said yes to Jesus being your Savior? Have you asked Him to save you from your sins? If you haven't, you have that opportunity. We do it by a prayer here at Living Faith Church. I won't embarrass you. Right now, there's pressure coming at you like saying, no, they're going to embarrass you. No, I'm not. I am going to ask that your hand's lifted slightly. I'll note your hand. I'll lead you in a prayer. Right where you're at, you can say this prayer. A prayer will change your life like it changed my life today. If that's you, you've already lifted your hand today. If there's somebody else saying yes to the Lord today, saying I'm far away, pray for me, include me in this prayer. Say yes to Jesus. Lift your hand so I can note it. God bless you, sir. You can put it down. Somebody else, no one looking around, just please, private. Yes, I see your hand. You can put it down. Someone else, three people. I see your hand. Yeah. You're a blessing to me. Right where you're at, again, would you pray this prayer loud enough? Those on Facebook Live right now, you can pray this prayer also. Jesus can come right where you're at in that living room, on your phone right now. God can hear your prayer. Let's pray this prayer right now together. Heavenly Father, everyone in the church, Heavenly Father, receive my prayer. Forgive me of my sins, Jesus. I'm far away from you. My sin has done that. But now I ask that the blood of Jesus would forgive me of my sins. Wash me clean, Lord. Bring me near. I thank you that I'm included in your family. I'm a child of God. I look like my Heavenly Father. I behave like my Heavenly Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. About three people raised their hand. I know some on Facebook did. Come on, bless them. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Thank you for new life at Living Faith Church today. Amen. I want you to take some steps, the three or four of you in this room. Take some steps. There's a Growing in Faith class that will start in a couple of weeks. Sonia Varial right now is on the front row. Would you pray with her? Would you see her? Would you see her and Howard today, especially if you raise your hand? They'll have a prayer of seal. They'll seal that prayer, that blessing for you. Make sure that you're doing that today. Connection card is in front of you or on the side. You got to reach for it in our rows, amen. But you got to get a connection card. Make sure that you put that, say, I received Jesus today. And if you can do that on Facebook Live, if it's still on, make sure you comment about that today. I received Christ. Hit us up on that. We'll be praying for you. We believe in you and thank God for it today. Finally, as Alex and Lisa Copeland come, they're going to receive the tithe and offering today. They're exceptional people. Would you give them a big hand? Bless them. Alex is coming. They're in charge of our marriage ministry. They do great things. They want to tell you about those. Make sure you see them about our marriage ministry. They're our point people. Finally, before they come, and I'll get off the stage. Chuck, I'm leaving pretty quick here. I need a few men to stay afterwards. Chuck will direct you. We're going to turn the sanctuary into a classroom type setting that we need to have a meeting afterwards. Would you help me do that? If we got about four men doing that, it'd be done quickly. Amen? So help Chuck, help myself out. We'll do that together. If you're visiting, I'll also meet you in the cafe. I'd like to shake your hand. Irma and I would love to see you out there. God bless you. Amen.
Be all right. I want to talk to you a little bit about tithes and offering. Stephen and Paul are one of my favorite people in the Bible because they're gangster. They are thugs for Christ. The reason why I say that is both of them had the same type of attitude. The attitude is, no matter what you do to me, I will serve God. Stephen, at the point of his death, when they were accusing him, stood up and took this opportunity to start preaching. He preached so hard and so well. It is said that Jesus sits on the right hand of God. In the scriptures, it said Jesus stood at the right hand of God. I want to be in that situation. I want to talk to you a little bit about tithe. This is going to be a little uncomfortable. So let's get you at the edge of your seats, if you would. If you have the ability, please sit at the edge of your seat. I don't want you to miss out on your blessing. This is something that God has in store for you. So I want you to be at your best. I want your ears to be open and your heart to be softened so you can understand what God has for you. In the Bible, one of the greatest commandments out there is, Jesus said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. The second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Why is this pertinent to tithe? Tithe is just something that God is asking you to do as an act of obedience. Every time you come to church, somebody's always looking in your back pocket and saying, what's in your wallet? I hear it. And there's been times when I felt that. Every time you go to church, somebody's asking for a handout. This is not a handout. This is an act of obedience. This is something that you are investing in. What happens here on earth is registered in the storehouses in heaven. If you want your investment to be what it's supposed to be, that is where the tithe comes from. When you say, well, Brother Alex, my money is funny. I don't have the cash to do what I need to do to take care. God's not asking for cash. God is only asking for your obedience. That's your talent, your time, and your money. It's his money, but he's giving it to you, and he's asking for you to, as an act of obedience, to give it back to him. God needs somebody to come clean up this church. God needs somebody to go to Haven for Hope. God needs somebody to go to the adult daycare. Our Great Commission says that we are to go out into the world to teach the gospel, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. But if you do all of these things that I just told you, and you do it without love, it means absolutely nothing. So if you're talking to me about, hey, my money's funny, there's something going on between this situation. There's a funny situation going on. Because I'm just talking to the folks who are part of the body of Christ at this point. I'm talking to you because you are the ones that actually cause our missionaries to go out. We come here for free. But those people outside these walls who don't come here need our help. And think about it. This is a resource kind of a nation. Everything that we have to do costs money. Everything. And if we need to go to help somebody over on San Pedro, it's going to cost somebody something. Time, money, energy. That has to come from us because we're part of the body of Christ. If we have our eyes just like God and we see that that person out there needs help, then we will do everything we can to get that accomplished, because it is our great commission. It is our the greatest priority that we have, and our goal is the advancement of the kingdom. If we want to advance the kingdom, we must have things come in so that everything goes out. Okay? So if you go to the ATM machine and you say, well, I'm going to get my little $10 because it's my tithe and I'm just going to give it to you, it doesn't mean anything. Now, we've already talked about tithe. That's the tenth. I want to talk to you about offering. That's a little bit different. Tithing, tenth. Offering is over and above. You see somebody walking down the street and they need money, that's an offering. You give them the offering. But don't say, I know they're going to go get beer with it. That's not your affair. The offering is from your heart. When God looks down and he says, I honor that person simply because he gave from his heart, that's what he's looking for. There was a time when I had $10 and I had $600 that I had to pay for my rent. I had no money. I said, well, God, I'm going to go ahead. I have to tithe. Let me go and give my little $5. I gave the $5. As I'm walking out the door, God said, give me that other one. I'm like, no, God, I got to get home. I'm almost on E, God. There's no, give me that other one. I gave the other one. I made it home by the grace of God. I opened up my mailbox. In there was a check for the exact amount of my rent. Now, this is not just a magic trick. This is not telling you, do it for the financial gain. It's because I gave. I did what God asked me to do. I followed the leading and direction of God. And that's, this is your investment. When you come to give, either by cash, debit, online, 7797, when you do that, it's an act of obedience. That's all it is. Just do what God asks, and he will pour out a blessing, something bigger than you can contain. Be gangster. Be a thug for Christ. Step out of your comfort zone and do what's necessary to advance the kingdom. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for what we're about to receive. We ask that you sanctify it. We ask that you multiply it so that the advancement of the kingdom occurs, so that those people who are without receive something so much far better than what we can give. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.